Well, good morning. Pentecost is very special because it's one of the most important days of the Christian calendar, and it's also an opportunity for me to wear one of my prized possessions, which is my elegant red bush shoes, or veldskoens as we call them in South Africa. But more seriously, or maybe not so more seriously, last month I was in South Africa for a big school reunion, and I won't tell you how big, because then you'll be able to work out my age, which is a closely guarded secret. And it's a closely guarded secret to protect my self-esteem, which took a bit of a knock a few years ago when someone asked me how old I was, and when I responded and told him, he said, "Oh, I thought you were much older than that." Anyway, back to the school reunion. I wasn't quite sure what to expect before I went, but when I got there and we had all the events and the celebrations, it far exceeded my expectations. It was really amazing. And it's a bit like that with the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Because we don't quite know what to expect, but when he comes, it can be amazing and even life-changing. So why is it, therefore, that we say every Sunday when we say the creed, "I believe in the Holy Spirit," and yet we try to put him in a box? We don't want him to come too close because that can be uncomfortable. Anyway, I'm racing ahead of myself. So what is Pentecost? Well, Pentecost, the word Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecosta, which means 50th. And that's because this day is the 50th day after the first day of Passover. And that was the Jewish festival of Shukot, or Shukot, which was to celebrate the first harvest of the wheat. And it's one of the three main pilgrimage, or one of the three pilgrimage festivals in the Jewish calendar. And that meant that all Jews were expected to go to the temple in Jerusalem. And that's why in verse 5, we read that there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, and there would have been many of them. Jerusalem would have been packed out. But for Christians, Pentecost signifies the coming of the Holy Spirit in power and the explosive expansion of the Christian church, of Christianity. And in fact, the start of the Christian church, some would say. And importantly, it is characterized by three important biblical principles that make it distinctive. The first is Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit. The second is the power of the Holy Spirit. And the third is the presence of the Holy Spirit in all believers. So I'll go through each of those in turn. The three P's: the promise, the power, and the presence. First of all, the promise. In John 14, verses 15 to 17, Jesus says to his disciples, "If you will love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you." And John explains further on in the chapter that the advocate is indeed the Holy Spirit, and his use of the word "another" differentiates the Spirit from the Father and the Son. The term advocate means encourager, comforter, helper, and Jesus says that he will be with you forever. And then later on in verse 26, Jesus said, "He will teach you all things." So the Holy Spirit is also a teacher and a guide. Now, although Jesus is talking to the disciples, by extension, what he said applies to all believers. And how do we know that? Well, we see this in verse 23. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. And then in 1 John 3:24 we read, all who obey his, i.e. Jesus' commandments, abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. So as one commentator put it, to have the Holy Spirit is to have Jesus himself. So Pentecost was not a random event, but the start of what Jesus promised and what Joel prophesied, but we'll come back to that later. So that's the promise, Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit. Then the power. In John 20, we read that Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Then before going up, being taken up into heaven, he told them that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came on them. And that's exactly what happened on Pentecost. And what power it was. Now, firstly, there was the power of the sound of the wind. And that must have been quite frightening. I don't know if you've ever heard the sound of a violent wind. I have, because I was born and brought up in Port Elizabeth in South Africa, and that's known as the Windy City. And I know when I say windy, I mean windy. I remember the South African amateur golf championships were held there one year, and the wind was howling, and the top golfers were coming in 15 and 20 over par. So for those of you golfers who know, that was quite something. So it must have been a bit like that in Pentecost, that we use the term howling wind in English, don't we? Howling wind. Then secondly, it filled the whole room. Thirdly, they saw tongues of fire. Now, fire on its own is frightening, but fire and wind together is terrifying. Then fourthly, each person in the crowd that had gathered heard the believers speaking in his own language. And remember that there were 120 of the believers. And they weren't highly qualified linguists. They probably maybe had heard sporadically other languages, but they probably hadn't traveled, almost certainly hadn't traveled to countries like Egypt and Libya. And yet they were speaking in all these different languages. And then fifthly, it was Peter, the fisherman who had denied Jesus not 2 months before, who stood up and addressed the crowd before them. He probably never addressed a crowd before. And he tells them very plainly that the believers weren't drunk because it was 9 o'clock in the morning. And he reminds them that Joel, it is thought about 600 to 800 years earlier, had prophesied that the Holy Spirit would come in power. So we've had the promise, the power, and now the presence of the Holy Spirit in all believers. And in Romans 8, verse 11, Paul writes, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The Spirit gives life, as we saw in 1 John 3, and this is how we know that Jesus lives in us. It's not a one-off experience. It is part and parcel of who we are as Christians. We are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. So what does that mean for us in our lives? We've looked at the biblical foundation, the three P's of promise, power, and presence. And I now have another three P's which can help us to apply the message of Pentecost and serve God more effectively, strengthen our faith, and enrich our lives. And the three P's are be prayerful, be patient, and be prepared. So let me look at each of those. First of all, be prayerful. After the ascension, the disciples returned to Jerusalem as Jesus had told them in Luke 24. And they, together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, joined together constantly in prayer. Then Peter led the believers to choose a replacement for Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, and once again they prayed. This time for guidance as to whom to choose. So prayer was a priority, an absolute priority for them. How often do we pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us, let alone fill us afresh and empower us? I know I don't do it nearly as much as I should. But if the Holy Spirit gives us life, guides us, encourages us, then prayer should be a priority for us, just as it was for those early believers. And importantly, being prayerful also means praying to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4, we read that the believers were again filled with the Holy Spirit. And as Michael Green, that great evangelist, wrote in his book, Acts for Today, I've been filled hundreds of times, and hundreds of times I have run dry. We need not only the once and for all baptism with the Spirit, but the continuous being filled with Him. Secondly, be patient. Jesus promised them that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came on them. And He told them to go to Jerusalem and stay there until this happened. Now, I try to put myself in the shoes of those disciples. They must have been bewildered, certainly frightened because they were marked men, and really not knowing what was going to happen next. Jesus just said, wait. So what did Jesus mean? There was no instruction book explaining that after X number of days, this would happen and then that would happen and you would do this or do that. They knew neither the what nor the when, even though they may have believed in the how. What's my patience like? Not good, if I'm honest. All too often I want things in my time and not in God's time. And just as an aside, God's timing is perfect. As an aside, nowhere is that more evident than with our recently completed building project. We were frustrated. There were obstacles that cropped up. It was taking far, far longer than we ever expected. But now when we look back, we can see God's hand in it and His perfect timing. So we need to be patient, as hard as that is, in an era when we are used to quick responses and instant gratification. So be prayerful, be patient, and then finally, be prepared. This is possibly the most difficult, because deep down we know that we might find ourselves in uncomfortable situations. And because we may associate the power of the Holy Spirit with Pentecostal preachers, people shouting, falling down, doing strange things. And I'm sure some of you witnessed that. I've witnessed that myself. But we need to recognize that we can't put the Holy Spirit in a box. He can and does come in power. Let me say that again. We need to recognize that we can't put the Holy Spirit in a box. He can and does come in power. In fact, we should expect that He can come in power and be open to it, even if it is uncomfortable for us. It's a myth that the power was the first Pentecost happening only, and that it was Pentecost was just the start. The book of Acts is full of instances when the Holy Spirit showed up in very, very powerful ways. Think of the conversion of Saul, or the story I love of Philip and the Ethiopian official. But it wasn't only in the first century, it was through the centuries. And think of more recently, the Hebridean and the Welsh revivals, John Wimber and the Vineyard Movement, the Toronto Blessing, and of course, something that we all know, Alpha. So the evidence is there, and if the evidence is there, then we should be prepared and be expectant. Let me conclude. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us life and the enjoyment of living life to the full, serving God for His glory. Yes, the Holy Spirit coming in power may be daunting, but it is also exciting. And remember that the Holy Spirit can not only come to us in power, just as He did to the believers at that first Pentecost, but He also empowers us, guides us, supports us, and encourages us. So we are not on our own. Let me pray. Lord, as we leave church this morning, help us to remember and be inspired by the three P's of Pentecost. Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Help us to respond by being prayerful, being patient, and being prepared for the unexpected and the expected, that we may enjoy the fullness of life in You through Your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.